All right, well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Can we just start out with a prayer? Father, I just want to thank you so much. I love you so much. Jesus, thank you for going to that cross and going through everything you went through to bring me back into reconciliation with the Father. Thank you that your word says that your sheep know your voice, and I'm relying on that this morning, that we, as your sheep, as your family, as your sons and daughters, will hear your voice. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to see the things of the Spirit so much clearer than the things of the natural. Help us to be kingdom people, kingdom-minded people. Amen. Lord, break our hearts for what breaks yours. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So, I want to talk about the kingdom of heaven today. And I got some notes planned out and stuff like that. But the Father hasn't allowed me to lay out a lesson for you guys today. And I keep asking him why, and he says, I'm just going to speak through you, and I want you to use some examples. So bear with me, and I hope that I'm just being obedient to him. And I want to start with, when we're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven, we need to look at things that are going on, like right now and today, right? What do we see happening with our own government in America?
Corruption.
Well, we see a lot of a big push towards socialism, don't we?
Yeah.
There's one party right now that is really pushing for socialism, with the whole idea, right, that they want to give a lot of stuff away. Free health care, free school, free this, free that, free everything, right? Right. The promise from government is we want to give you stuff. But I want you to take a look really quick. I'm not going to read the whole thing, because Israel did the same thing. They said they wanted a king. God wanted to be their supplier. He wanted them to seek him out for what they needed and be their supplier for all things. And they wanted a king, so he told Samuel, I'm going to give them a king, because that's what they want. And if you look in 1 Samuel 8, 11 through 18, there's a list. I'm not going to read them all, but there's a list there. He says, I'm going to go ahead and give them a king, but you need to let them know that the king is going to take from them. And there's a long list of all the things that a king was going to take from them. See, God's kingdom is about giving.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And even in today, with this push for socialism, with all this free stuff they want to give, who knows that nothing is free? Everything is taxpayer funded. The government takes, God gives. So we need to understand the kingdom of heaven is still about giving. It's not about taking. So there's a lot of promises for us as believers, and they are all for us, but where's our focus at? Is it about receiving, or is it about giving? And I think there's an important thing to look at in that. See, the church should be the most powerful kingdom on the planet.
That's right.
We should be the healthiest people on the planet.
That's right.
And we should be going and giving those things to others. People should be coming to the church. And I don't mean this building. They should be coming to you and I for healing, for help, for whatever their needs are. They should be running to the church, not looking to the government, because we have the kingdom that gives. Look at Matthew 6:10. It's in that whole, the prayer that Jesus was teaching them. In 6:10 it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Does anybody have an example what they think that would look like, they'd like to share. You get to use a microphone. Anybody? Come on, I knew somebody did.
I think it...
It's not going to be loud, it's recording you.
Oh, okay, I think it would be like it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall.
That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? That's awesome. Anybody else? God's will on earth as it is in heaven.
Well, like when you talk about like healing, and people say, well, if it's God's will, but we already know it's God's will. So when we pray, we already know.
Talk louder.
We pray, we already know it's God's will, so we see the sick healed, and the lame walk, and blind eyes see.
As it is in heaven, here on earth. God's will for healing, right? Do we know healing is God's will for sure?
Absolutely.
Did Jesus go about doing what? Healing all that were afflicted of the devil. So sickness is an affliction from who?
The devil.
Now that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a demon in every sickness.
That's right.
But the author of all sickness is definitely the devil. Okay? So we know that it's God's will to heal. Matthew 10, 5 and 8. This is the main verse that the Lord just keeps speaking to me that he wants us to really look into here. Matthew 10, 5 through 8. Now these 12, Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. We know that it's God's will to heal everybody, right?
Yes.
Did you happen to notice in here Jesus told him not to go to the Gentiles yet? So let me just say one thing really quick. God is big. And we tend to try to put him in a box. We got our doctrines, we got our religion things, and we put him in a box. Sometimes we take him out of one box and we put him in a bigger box. Could I just say God is big? Let us let God be God. He's got timing for things. It was his will to heal the Gentiles as well, but it was supposed to come through Israel. There's a timing. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. Is everybody in here born again?
Yes.
Do you know you've received healing?
Yes.
I mean, do you really know that you've received healing?
Yes.
When you put your trust and your faith in Jesus and you became born again, you received everything that salvation is, which includes healing. So what was Jesus' command? If you've received, you freely received when you got born again, right?
Right.
Are you going and giving it away?
Yeah.
I don't want to, listen, don't feel condemned by what I'm saying. Just think about it. Sometimes we don't see a manifestation of something we need in our own lives, in our own bodies, because sometimes we're not busy giving the kingdom away.
Right.
We've become a well, and we just want our well to fill up. Hey, look at all these promises, God. They're all mine, yes and amen, in Christ Jesus. I want. Listen, if you truly believe you've received it, because you did at salvation, it's time to go give it away. I don't care if you're still sick. So Pastor got to talk about his problem last week, and I guess God's going to have me talk about mine. So Woo, okay, Jesus, help me. I'm going to be really honest with you. Man, this is tough. All right, there was a time. Man, I was on fire for God. You know, I was in my shop working, loving the Lord. I could almost just burp and people would get saved or healed. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. And you know why? Because I wanted to give the kingdom away. I just loved the Lord. I wasn't focusing on Johnny. I was focusing on loving people. I saw a lot of people get healed. Saw a lot of people get saved. During that time, I needed healing for several things. I was close to 450 pounds. Had asthma and high blood pressure. And you know, I didn't not once ask God to take care of any one of those three problems. Not once. I was just busy loving my daddy and sharing him with anybody I would get the opportunity to share him with. And you know, when I was busy doing them, he was busy doing me. Just one day, I went to do a ministry in a prison. It was hot, it was humid, and I didn't have my puffers with me for my asthma. You don't want to be in that situation with asthma. And I was carrying a bunch of heavy equipment into a room that had no air conditioning and thought, I don't have my puffer with me. And you know what? I heard the Father say, you'll never need it again. I've never needed it again. Asthma was healed. See, we've been talking a lot about this hearing God. Get a second opinion last week. That second opinion is when God ignites faith in your heart. The doctor says this, but God gave you faith in your heart. If it's from the Word that's telling you speak to your mountain and God brought something alive in your heart to that and you speak against it, or if he speaks something else in your ear, all faith is ignited from God. He's the author of faith. And when he speaks to your heart, it's when you got it. Same thing happened with my high blood pressure. I just forgot to take my medicine for a couple days. And when I thought about it, I'm like, oh, I forgot my medicine. You know, I heard the Holy Spirit say, go check your blood pressure. I'm like, okay. Man, I love to hear from God, you know, because something good's going to happen. It was perfect. It was perfect. He said, you're never going to need that medicine again. Never going to need it again. My focus wasn't on me, folks. My focus was on other people. I was very self-conscious at 400 and close to 450 pounds. I didn't want to go out there and just be in public eye and, you know, reach out and be around people because I was very self-conscious. As a kid, always big all my life, made fun of and stuff, you know. But I stepped out of myself and did. I woke up in the middle of the night one night and it was like hot hands were touching my chest and my belly and my legs until my whole body had been touched. And I felt the Lord tell me, I want you to fast. I'm like, wow, that sounds rough. Lord, I don't understand what you want me to do in this fasting. I don't really get it, but if you're telling me to do it, I'm for it. Just, yeah, you got to do me a favor. If I do this thing, help me not be hungry and have headaches. Listen, you know when God calls, he gives you what you need. There were months there for a while where I ate less than I didn't eat. Does that make sense? I fasted more often some months than I ate. And through that, the Father was showing me that I could trust him when he said, now, Johnny, I want to work on your health in the way of your weight. Do you know, again, let God be God. He's so big and beautiful and wonderful, and he knows what's best. Do you know that when I got on board with God with that, I could have woke up the next morning and none of my clothes could have fit? All just big old sacks on me, right? He could part the Red Sea. He could do that, yeah? Right? Do you know it didn't happen that way? It did not happen that way. But let me tell you what did happen. Over the course of about 2 years, I spent time with him every single day. And I got to know his character. I got to know his love. When I was hungry and it wasn't a mealtime, I'm like, Daddy, make me more hungry for you than food. And within minutes, that hunger was gone until a proper mealtime. He didn't tell me to start eating vegan or anything else like that. You know what it started with? Johnny, you don't need 2-foot-long coney dogs. You need maybe one. Eventually, he got around to healthy. He didn't go to vegan. God knows me, and he knows I like meat. I'm sorry. But he did get around to being eating healthier. Most nights I have salad. There's meat in my salad, though. And then he had me start walking. Listen, my knees were wrecked, all right? The cartilage was messed up. I had surgery on both of them. It was bad. They said, you don't have hardly any cartilage left. But he said, it's time to start walking, Johnny. I'm like, okay. I lost a whole lot of weight. Years ago, before I started really following the Lord, I said, if I could just lose 100 pounds, I could exercise. So after I lost about 100 pounds, he's like, Johnny, it's time to start walking. What do you mean? He says, you said if you could lose 100 pounds, you could start exercising. I'm like, you were listening? I wasn't following you. What are you talking about? You weren't supposed to be listening. So I start walking. And I'm like, Lord, again, you know the knees. So I walked a block. The next day I walked a little more. A little more. You know, it felt like somebody was holding me up underneath my under my shoulders or something, because I would walk and my knees didn't hurt. And whenever he said go a little further, I'd go a little further. Eventually I was walking 4 miles a morning. Eventually I got into a gym. But with my nature, all or nothing, I took that too far too. I got to where I would be in the gym like 6-7 days a week, sometimes 2 days a week, or 2 days, two times a day. I mean, I went from one end all the way to the other end, and that's not healthy either. But God did this thing through a process. Now, to bring this to a point, we've been in ministry all these years. And through the course of that ministry, we got to a point where we had our own church for a while. And the church ended up falling apart after some time. And me personally, I felt kind of beat up, let down, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I came to this church a broken person. I needed healing. I didn't see a whole lot of people getting saved around me anymore. I wasn't praying for a whole lot of people and they weren't getting healed and stuff. I still love God, but I started living really worldly because I was hurt. But here's the tough thing for me. So if you feel like I might be being a little tough on you, trust me, this comes here first. The truth is, if I got hurt by ministry and by people, then I wasn't dead. I wasn't dead to me, or I wouldn't have got hurt, because the only opinion that would have mattered would have been his. So my allowing people's opinion to be more important than his messed my life up for a while. Praise God, he brought me here and brought someone to me that could help me see things clearly and bring me back to where I need to be. To where I'm looking each day where I'm at, where can I be a blessing? I get opportunities to pray with people at work every day. Every day. To speak something into their life, to be loving to them, to be the kingdom of heaven to them in some way. When I realized the problem, though, I have this thing on my cheek here that has been bugging me for years. It's gotten a little bigger over the years. And I've been speaking to this mountain. And this mountain ain't been moving, because I haven't heard God's word on it yet. I've just been speaking my word at it. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to say another word about it, Lord, until you tell me what's going on here. And Kitty and I were out on our morning walk. We walk about 2 miles every morning, and then she's in the evening, she goes 2 more, and I'm like, No. But I go downstairs and work out with weights, and she doesn't, so maybe there's a balance. I don't know. Balanced with weightlifting now. I'm not going in there trying to be stupid and young and stuff like that. I'm just trying to be healthy. So we're out on our walk one morning, and I'm just listening to worship music. I'm praising the Lord, walking, and we're talking, and it's great. Man, we have good conversations sometimes. Sometimes neither one of us say a word. We just listen to our worship music and walk, and God starts talking to me. This thing comes up in my mind. I don't even know what it is. My mom said it's like a blood mole. It's kind of like a vein that's come through the skin, and it doesn't feel like a lump or, you know, I don't think it's a tumor, but it's ugly. And every now and then I nick it shaving, and that's really ugly because it bleeds like nobody's business. So the guy starts talking to me about it. And he says, Johnny, why do you wait to see a manifestation in your own body so that you'll have faith to pray for somebody else? Yeah, I wasn't ready for that. You know, again, can we let God be God? Why didn't he just answer me right away? Because he knew the right moment I'd be ready to hear that word. He said, Johnny, if you've been already given, freely you receive, freely give, why aren't you giving? Step out, start praying for others. You take care of them, I'll take care of you. That was huge. You know why I know that was God, not me? Because it lines up with the word, and I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to think. I mean, I was just closing my mind off to that. I didn't want to believe that I was holding back, waiting to see something happen to my own self, because that's not the person God created me to be, and that's not the person I used to be. So I'm still a work in process, right? I think we all are, and we all will continue to be. But I was glad to hear, because now, you know what? I don't care. What stops you from praying? Let me just, really quick, some people, I want to get some input here. If God puts it on your heart to pray for somebody, sometimes we don't do it. Why? What is things that we go through when we feel like we should do something? Anybody got examples? What goes through their mind? You guys are so quiet today.
I think we have a fear that it's not going to work.
That's like the number one thing, right? A fear that it won't happen. Listen. Let me just address that right now. The kingdom of heaven has been given to you. What is, all right, which verse? Let me see. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God lives in us. It's righteousness, his peace, and his joy living inside of us to bring his kingdom outside of us. Okay? There's power living inside of you. And did you know everything is a seed? If you pray for somebody and they don't get healed, that is not your responsibility. If God tells you to pray for somebody, that's your responsibility. You may just be planting a seed. Man, it sure feels good to know somebody loves you enough to pray for you. It may be a seed that's planted. You may not see it happen, but it's not your responsibility. Somebody else may come along and pray again, or they may later on see the increase because God is the one that brings the increase, right?
I wanted to add, in tandem with the things that you were saying, when I was teaching healing in the past in Bible college, I had people come up who were, they understood who they were in Jesus. But I had very particularly a young man who was blind, fully blind, and had a rod in his back to keep his back straight because his back was so messed up. And I had him pray for people, and he saw, and now I don't mean saw with sight, but people were healed magnificently through him. He couldn't see, and he hadn't received, he was still believing for the manifestation, and the symptoms were obvious, but he stood in faith for his healing while he was praying for others, and he got results. Wasn't afraid to do it. Now, you would think that absolutely the one that shouldn't be praying for people is the one who hadn't received fully, and I'm going to tell you that he was like loaded dynamite.
Yeah.
So just an encouragement for everybody, no matter how you feel, go whip it on them.
Go whip it on them.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is the number one fear we have when we feel God is leading us to maybe pray for somebody's healing, is that we'll pray and then we'll look silly. There's that silly Christian guy praying and nothing happened. What's the problem there? You're not dead, right? Did you die with Christ? Then what does it matter if you look silly? It doesn't, right? We were brought into a kingdom to be Jesus to people. Would Jesus be afraid to talk to somebody? Would he be afraid to look silly? No. We have the exact same ability to hear what the Father is saying. Jesus didn't do anything unless he heard the Father tell him to. I don't care what we talked about a couple weeks ago. He cursed the tree. That looks silly, right? Was it just being mean? She said, yeah, he was just being mean. He did it because the Father told him to do it. They used that tree as an example. I'm not going to go into all the stuff that tree's example was, but there was an example being used there. You know? So he heard the Father say to do it, and that's why he did it. We have the same ability to hear what the Father is saying. And if he, listen, if he puts it on your heart to pray to heal somebody, he's fixing to do something. He's not leading you out just to look silly, but listen, your responsibility is the part of doing what he's put on your heart to do. That's it. If they don't receive the healing right then, you got to see the power leaving your mouth when you talk. You got to go in there with your faith saying that when I speak, I am using the voice that God gave me to let his words come through my mouth, and there is always power in my words. Always. Always. His word never comes back void. When you speak words of faith out of your mouth, something is happening whether you see it or not. And that's why Jesus, when he would say something, when he's done, he just walk away. He might leave somebody flopping around on the ground behind him. He's not going back to check on that thing because he knows it's done. You love somebody, you pray for them, and leave the results up to God, and know that he's going to bring that thing to pass in his time, however it's going to work. You just be responsible for what you're going to do. And this, it ties in exactly to our own healing. Yes, it's all been given to us, but take the focus off you. You're not walking in love and being God-like if your focus is you. Right? Love never thinks of itself. It puts others first. This is tough. I get it. This is hard. And I'm not there every day on my own either, trust me. One thing I've been doing lately, and this might be something to think about, every morning when I get up for the past couple weeks, most of the time before I even have my coffee, I take communion. I go into the kitchen, I get some grape juice and a piece of cracker, and I remind myself first thing in the morning of everything the body of Christ did for me and for everybody else on this planet and what his blood did for us to reconcile us to the Father so I can hear the Father's voice and be in communion and love him. Man, it's a great reminder. You want to set your day straight first thing in the morning? Communion's a good way to do it. It'll hit your reset button. But we got to be intentional about this thing. It goes against the natural man's mind or woman to think of others first. But it is exactly the kingdom of heaven's mind to put others first. Yes.
I remember hearing Ken Copeland talk about how he was studying the woman with the issue of blood. I don't remember whether he was in Mark, Luke, or Matthew's rendition of it, But he was saying that he was just studying it. He said, and the Lord asked him, how do you see yourself in that? And he says, Lord, I see myself as that woman. He said, the Lord told him, I want you to see the one, see yourself as the one with the garment.
That's good.
And that was so profound.
That's good. That's real good. Mm-hmm. We are the physical body of Christ. That's what we've been given. He paid a huge price. The Bible says that we, the church, are the fullness of Jesus.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
fullness. Which to me tells me that he's a little incomplete without us. I mean, that's a hard thing to think about, but we are the fullness of Christ. He doesn't want to do without us because he paid a huge price to have us. And he needs us on this earth to be his hands, his feet, and his mouth on this earth. Whew.
Yeah, man.
That's big.
Yeah.
So, in that, and if we want the kingdom of heaven, right, to work through us, to love others, to get past ourselves, to not be so self-conscious, what's the number one thing we need to get there? Anybody got an idea? The number one thing you need to be able to live the kingdom life.
I see it as the fact that we need to be more God conscious every day.
God conscious?
Every second.
Absolutely. Like I was saying, having communion in the morning is a good way to put your mind there. Right? Anything else? Anybody else? Kitty?
Well, you were just talking about looking silly. You have to remember, love is never silly, no matter what it's for.
I'm going to remind you of that sometime. She tells me I can be pretty silly sometimes. I'm going to say, I'm just loving you.
That's why I married you. You make me laugh.
All right. Let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 1, woo, verse 8. Kingdom life. You ready? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you cannot live a God life on your own. You cannot produce the things of God without being saturated in the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is the thing we need to make sure people understand. Don't just get people saved. Get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because true power to live godly, you are never, ever, ever going to change and live godly without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may be saved, you may be headed to heaven, but you're living like you're going to hell. You're still sick. You're still thinking about yourself all the time. You're broke. Going to heaven, but no real power for change. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is when God pours his love into you so deep, so fully saturated, that now you have a power other than your own to live godly. Peter denied Jesus 3 times before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? After being baptized in the Holy Spirit, on that day, right, they're in the upper room. Picture this. They're in the upper room, 120 of them, waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit, like Jesus said. He said, listen, don't go anywhere until you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they didn't have the power yet. Right? Don't go be witnesses yet. You don't have the power yet. Did they have the Holy Spirit? Yes, but they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in that upper room, tongues of fire on each one of their heads, right? Signifying that this body is now an acceptable place for God's presence to live. Just like when Solomon dedicated the temple in the Old Testament, right? Fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, saying that temple was a suitable place for God's presence to be in the temple. Kind of a parallel. They went out, and there were people from all kinds of different nations with different languages that needed to hear the glory of God that day. And they all went out there and spoke in a language, an earthly language, that wasn't their own, and ministered the glory of God. And people heard the glory of God in their own language from these people who didn't know the language. Was it 3,000 people got saved that day? From the guy who denied Jesus, because he had power now. This is the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A prayer language is one of those things that signifies, it's an evidence of, but it's not the most important part of it. We need to show people that you need a power to be somebody different. And yes, if you're open and you understand the prayer language, that definitely accompanies it. It's for everybody. And it's important, and you need it. But if you want to live godly, you have got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean we're always walking in the Spirit, though, right? It's there. He's there. But we can choose to walk worldly instead of godly. It has to be an intentional, like you're saying, it has to be an intentional thing each day to set your default back to a kingdom person that walks in the Spirit. We got to disconnect from the world. Everything is a seed. If you want to put the seed of God into people, you can't be filling your whole self with the seed of the world all day long. You're getting 16 hours worth of world all day, and you're giving yourself 30 minutes of God. You're just not going to walk in power like that. Your heart may want to, you may have all the best desires to do so, but you're just not going to. You're going to have to disconnect. Let your heart be broken for the things that breaks God's heart. Love what He loves. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to love what God loves and hate what God hates. Jesus paid a price to make you like Him. Far too often we want to get our grace and sit on it. Say, I'm going to heaven. It's good enough. Going to heaven, I'm going to sit down on my grace. True grace should empower you to live differently, to live a God life through the Holy Spirit. Submitting your life, dying to yourself, and stepping out to bring the kingdom of heaven to those around you. Preachers, I mean, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles. They have a purpose. Their purpose is not to go out and do all the work of the ministry out there. Do you know whose purpose that is?
Ours.
Absolutely. The fivefold ministry was given to you to equip you to go out and give the kingdom to others. It's for every Christian.
Yes.
And I just want to promise you this morning, if you have a need in your body, if you need healing somewhere, if you need anything that salvation already has given you, who knows what is included in salvation? Anybody? Got a list?
Yeah.
What salvation entitles? The word sozo, what is it?
Healing, prosperity, everything.
Wholeness, healing, prosperity, righteous peace, joy, protection. Deliverance. Everything. Everything for life and godliness has already been given to us. When you said, I do to Jesus, He said, and here's everything I have. Freely you have received. Now you need to freely go out, ask the Holy Spirit, let me see things of the Spirit so much clearer than the natural today, Lord. Help me to love people and put me away. Help me to die to self and touch somebody else for your kingdom today. I guarantee you, I'm promising you today that if you will step out of yourself and start loving other people, whatever's going on in your body, Maybe it won't be this, you know, immediate or something like that. But listen, I guarantee you God is going to take care of you when your focus is on loving others. I guarantee it. I've stopped talking about this to him. It's going to be gone someday. I know it will. But you know my focus is at now? Loving other people. I've been intentional for the past 2 weeks because, man, he's healed my heart. I've been intentional to look for somebody to bless and love. God says, give some money to somebody. Give some money to somebody. Have an encouraging word. Listen, God gave me words for people. I woke up in the middle of the night one time, 3 o'clock in the morning. This was back when I was overdoing it on the exercise thing, all right? But nevertheless, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had an urge, a desire to go to the gym, which really wasn't all that uncommon for me to get up in the middle of the night and go to the gym, but 3 o'clock in the morning was pretty uncommon. So I went to the gym. There was a woman that usually worked the counter in the mornings when I went there that I hadn't seen in months. We'd have conversations, you know, because I'd always looking for, you know, just be polite and be friendly with people. And I hadn't seen her in a long time. Guess who was there cleaning around the equipment at 3 in the morning? She was there. And you know what? We start talking, and all of a sudden God said, she's got a daughter that's very sick. I'm like, I don't even know if she has kids. He said, what'd I say? I said, excuse me, I'm sorry. Do you have a daughter that's really sick? She goes, she starts crying. She goes, oh my gosh, you don't even know. It's been, she goes into this whole long story about all they're going through with her daughter. And then the father said, tell her it's not going to be like this forever. That's all he told me. He didn't tell me anything else. So you know what I told her? It's not, the father told me that it's not always going to be like this. And she just broke down bawling. She said, you don't know how bad I needed to hear that. Listen, say no more, no less than what God tells you. Say, be obedient. Do what he says do. 3 o'clock in the morning, going to the gym because God had an appointment. He just needs somebody willing to step out. Does anybody feel like they would like to step out more, but it's been difficult? Is anybody honest enough to say that? Yeah. I want to pray for you. Father, I know that we all didn't raise our hands, but I know we all need this. In Jesus' name, more of you, more of your power flowing through us. Not so much more of it, but that we would recognize the power that is in us flowing through us. Help each one of us to die to ourselves, not worry about looking foolish, and be willing to step out and love other people with whatever it is you say to do. Give us words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Give us a heart willing to give whatever it would be. Give us boldness to step out and do what it is you want done. And let us see the fruits of those things that would inspire more faith in us. And Father, right now in Jesus' name, everything, every sickness that is on the body of Christ that doesn't belong there, as we go out and be you to the world, we proclaim victory over those things in our bodies and thank you for it even before we see it happen because we know it's done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, we're going to have prayer ministers up here. If the Lord is speaking to you about anything, any issue, whether it's healing, especially healing, but any other issue that you might have, come up and get prayer. Don't put it off. Remember, faith comes when you hear the Father's voice. Step out. If he's pinpointing something in your life that you need prayer for, get up and get prayer. Come on up here. There's going to be 2 prayer ministers up here, okay? All right. I love you guys. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Go be Jesus.